We have a tradition in our house. It's not really we, it's me. I have a tradition in my house. We'll be at some place, let's just say a restaurant, and suddenly I will just say, hey, everybody, look around. Enjoy. I take it all in because we are never coming here again. This food was terrible. So don't you worry, we're not going to come back and have to endure this. Let's go. Now, the reason I say that is because when I look back at the year 2020, remember that? Yeah, whatever, pandemic lockdowns and the city's on fire and then that election. I want to say, look around. We're not going back there. Let's go. As a matter of fact, when we were the men and women that are involved in giving input to the preaching schedule for the year, I think it was all but unanimous. People said, you got to do a few lessons on how to live as civil Christians in civil issues. How to be a civil Christian in civil issues. And so we're going to do that. We actually, two out of the three sermons, already did one 2 weeks ago when I did a part of the series, Encounters with Jesus. It was Encounters with Politicians. And then these next 2 weeks, I think I had a total of 37 points. I've gotten it down to 3 this week, so we've got 34 next week. It's going to be a humdinger. All right, so here we go. We're going to start now. Undisputed, the single most densely theological book in the Bible is called the Book of Romans. It is overflowing with thick truth about the nature of God and the nature of man and the nature of salvation. Paul writes that book, and then after 11 chapters filled with those topics of theology, he pivots and answers the question that we're asking, how do we live? How do we apply all of that truth and wisdom into our life? And he all but summarizes it with a single sentence. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. That is the key to understanding how to become like Christ in all of life in politics. And it's a simple outline today. The first point is going to be like, what does it mean? What is this world? How do you know if you're just being a puppet to the worldly system? How do you know if you're marching to the noise of the evil one versus dancing to the music of God Almighty? We'll look at that. And then the second point is, well, what are the three areas this world is out to destroy? And the last part will be, how do we get out of this world? So there's our three-point outline. Here's the first point. What does it mean, this world? Do not be conformed to this world. Start here, right here. We are not alone. We are spirits that have bodies. And the war, and the Bible says clearly that we are at war. But it says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual war. It's against principalities and powers. And even the description of principalities and powers is a note to different ranks or even divisions. The spiritual war, the evil one has an army and an air force. And this, the spirit of this world, this evil spirit of this world, what does it thrive in? What does Satan thrive in? Know this. I want us all to be looking for this in the next months to come. He thrives in chaos and division and disorder, confusion. Confusion, chaos, division, disorder. You see any one of those four, and the spirit of this world is all over it. Confusion, chaos, division, and disorder. C.S. Lewis said it very succinctly. He said, the devil loves noise. He hates music. Let's all say that together. The devil loves noise, hates music. This is found in one of his classic books called The Screwtape Letters. And The Screwtape Letters is a tongue-in-cheek book written by a demon to a young demon on how to become a better demon. Never mind that. But here's what he says about noise versus music. This is the senior demon. He's saying, hell is occupied with noise. Heaven, it's nothing but music and silence. Noise is the audible expression of all things ruthless and vile. And my plan, this is the devil, my plan is to make all the universe nothing but noise in its end. Think about that. Satan's plan to make all things noise in contrast to the nature of God, even in the description of creation. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And God spoke, and there was nothing, and then there was something. But the something, it says, is formless and void. And so the rest of the chapter 1 and more details in chapter 2 is him just going through, making a list of causing order to break out. Things to work in harmony, in unity with one another. And then in chapter 3, when he creates men and women in his own image, we're made in the image of God, he says, hey, you know what? You should be like me. You should do what I do. And he gives us the garden and says, make it into something beautiful. Make it harmonious. Make it work together in humility. Make music. Take the noise and make music. So while God is making things beautiful out of dust, the devil and of this world, the spirit of this world, is making beautiful things into dust. The spirit of this world thrives on, and the spirit and the principalities and powers, they love taking music and turning it into noise. That's their goal. It's not even a fair fight, right? When you think about it, fair goals. It's just such an easy job to break. All you have to do is break stuff. A monkey with a hammer could do this. Think about it. It takes, 3 to 5 years to build a beautiful building? It takes 5 minutes to light it on fire. I was watching an old Western this last month, and these people were just trying to get across the Wild West to one of the civilized cities of the West Coast. Hundreds of years it took to make that city out of the wilderness. And then, watch, look what's happening all around the world in many respects. What took 100 years to build takes months to ruin. It's a wasteland again in many respects. So how is the question? Next question. How does the spirit of this world, how does the devil make noise out of the music? Here's what he does. Look for this. It's everywhere all the time. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. You'll see it everywhere. By fueling the primary emotions of hate and fear. Not just primary emotions. I would say they're primal emotions because they're part of every mammal's instinct towards danger. Fight or flight. And it's so simple to manipulate these two primary or primal emotions because you don't have to make people think to get them all excited because, as a matter of fact, you don't want them to think. You literally don't want a person to stop and think because by stopping and thinking, they could put out the fires of hate and fear. Their anxiety could come to a sudden stop if they just said, now why am I so afraid? The plan is to keep everybody just drowning on their emotions. So let me say, just to summarize here, the spirit of this world, the evil one, we're in a spiritual war, and the plan is to divide and to destroy by causing people to be seething in their anger and completely debilitated in their anxiety. That's the goal. That's the spirit of the world. Do not be conformed to this world. There's nothing new about this. 3,500 years ago, there's a lot of examples, but 3,500 years ago, Moses has already led all of Israel out of the bondage of Egyptian slavery, and while in the desert, one of the puppets of the spirit of the world says, "He's taken us out to the desert to kill us. There were not enough graves in Egypt for us." Now, if you're in the desert and you hear that without thinking, please don't think or you'll miss this, how do you feel? You're very angry or you're very afraid. It's just trying to divide this newborn nation of Israel by stirring up and fueling and fanning those flames of fear and anger. Don't think. Never mind those 10 plagues we just survived. Never mind the goodness of God and all the facts that point to that. Keep them drowning in these two emotions. Now listen. I want you to look for this. In the next 12 months, the puppets of this world are going to invent or allow or cause whatever is necessary to stir up these primary emotions of hate and fear. And there's a bigger purpose, and the purpose is for division, for destruction. Because the puppet master, he loves noise and he hates music. And many people just go along. Think of the devil as like a drug pusher. And what are his drugs? Hate and fear. Are we buying it? Are we buying it? Are you a spirit of part of like being conformed to this world? Here's the last little point in this one section that's informative and important. It's the nature of the verb conformed. Remember, eighth grade grammar, it's a passive verb. A passive verb means you don't do anything. It's not like you throw a ball. You just receive it. It'd be synonymous or like something like saying, don't get sunburned. To get sunburned, you don't do something. The sun does all the work. You just lay in the sand. It'll take its course. And so Paul here is saying, if you do nothing, if you just turn a blind eye to this world, you will be conformed by it. This world will make you what it wants. Satan, the devil himself, the puppet master, will have you marching to his noise. Think about it. What, in the last 3 years, the last 2 months, have you been more angry or more anxious? You ready to fight? You ready to flee? Are you causing division? Are you walking into rooms and saying it's us versus them? That means you're being conformed to this world. That's the first part. What is this world? Second point or outline here is, what are the three areas this world is out to destroy using hate and fear? I want us to all be looking at this in the future as well. Look at the three institutions that God has brought to us by his grace and mercy to allow us to civilize the formless and voidness around us. These three institutions are, I would say, they're sacred. And sacred doesn't have to be a church word or some kind of ceremony. Sacred means to be set apart for a purpose from God. Set apart for a purpose from God. And these three groups were invented by God to glorify God and to, generally speaking, to turn noise into music. That's what they do. They turn noise into music. And I want you to not just notice how valuable they are, but how essential they are. And kind of like the bigger they are, the harder they fall, the more consequence they have to when they're corrupted is the point. These three institutions, one of them is family, for example. When we see the family unified and humble, we make a TV show about it because there's a longing inside every heart to be part of a family that's loving and sacrificial and unconditional in their surrender towards one another. And we kind of go, oh, You know, I want to watch that. I want to be part of that. And what happens when a family is corrupt and evil and sinister? We make a horror movie out of that. The point is, look at the power of these three institutions. The first one is the government. The government. God set up the government, I think in Genesis chapter 9, and he sets up the government to protect the innocent and to restrain the evil. And the government works the way it's meant to when it works in unity, in mutual humility. When the government is humble with each other, working towards unity, it makes music. When we're conformed to this world, it divides the government. The government starts speaking of hate and anger. If we're part of being part of this world, we look at the government in emotions like hate and worry, instead of looking at it as something we can maybe fix or participate in. There's two applications that I came up with, and they're kind of on two poles. One is, in light of this being an institution given to us by God from heaven for civilization, we should get involved with government. If you can do that and stomach that, you should absolutely find yourself involved in that as much as you can. Not a politician that's a Christian that is a politician. And we would all love to pray for you and care for you, whatever you need. We want to help you involve yourself because it's God's institution. The least we can do is vote. And when I say vote, in the context of our time together, let's just vote. Just vote. This is how you stay out of the most trouble, is just vote. Do you know who you're going to vote for in November? I bet everybody does, don't you? Anybody needing any new information? No. So just now, you don't have to listen to anything because you've already made up your mind. You don't have to be involved in anything from now until that day. Vote early. Get it done. Anytime somebody brings it up, I've already picked. I'm done. And when I say just vote, I also mean in the last 4 years ago, people were saying, I want no part of this. I'm not going to vote. It's a lesser of evils. And Christians are not supposed to be involved in an ethic of lesser of evils. Every election is lesser of evils. Right? Every election ever is lesser of evils. I know some of you guys were longing for Ronald Reagan's resurrection. He was evil. He was just the lesser of evils. Okay? Because all men are evil. I mean, if you think of the United Kingdom period, think of it as a republic. And the one candidate says, vote King Saul. I'm taller and prettier than anyone else. Vote Gaston. And you think, can we vote for someone else? Yes, David shows up and says, I'm David. I'm a man after God's own heart. Vote David. But we've spent 17 weeks this year on David. He's a lesser of evil. Remember all the murdering and all that? Yeah, well, is there a third party candidate? Sure, Solomon. Vote King Solomon, the wisest man in all the Old Testament. Have you read about his life? His second term, he's offering sacrifices to other gods, lesser of evils. All we have is lesser of evils. That's all we'll ever have. Don't be blinded by hate or fear when you cast your vote. Just vote. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk to that ballot station. I'm going to write in. I'm just kidding. I'm going to cast my vote. Isn't that the show? I'll cast my vote. I'll quickly go to my car, look left, look right, make sure it's safe, and then just have a really good long cry. And then I'm going to move on. You're conformed to this world means when you're dividing a sacred institution using hate or fear, and in this case, that institution is the government. Don't be conformed to this world. Another target that Satan has, that's a gift from God, that's a sacred thing that he hopes to destroy, is the family. The family. Family is the place where you learn how to know a fellow human being and to be known. It's a place where you find out and discover what love is, how to love, and how to be loved unconditionally. The family is is one of the most mysterious places because a man and a woman come together and they create an eternal being. One of the largest mysteries of all creation. It's a place where we find the deeper meaning of words that apply to our salvation, like child and adoption. Wow. It's a holy place. It's a sacred place. And a family makes music when they work together in unity in the context of humility, when they're just out to serve one another. We're conformed to this world when we enter into our family using words of anger or words of anxiety and divide a family. There are six things, Proverbs, there are six things the Lord hates. No, there are seven things that are detestable to God. You know what the seventh thing is? The most detestable? A man who divides his family. That's the spirit of this world. Third institution from God is the church. It is especially sacred because it is eternal. Makes it to the other side of Revelation. And it glorifies God by giving the honor and the privilege of bringing the gospel to all men. We get to spread the good news, the Jesus and only Jesus. It's only by the mercy and grace of Jesus. And it's only by faith in that gift. That's the church. It's called the Bride of Christ. That's how special and set apart it is. It is the place where we become like Christ in all of life. And the church makes a melody. It makes beautiful music when the church humbly works together for unity. It is no wonder that one of the last thing Jesus prays is for his church and that his church would be unified. This is Jesus' prayer for us. In chapter 17 of the book of John, it says, my prayer, Jesus, my prayer is not for just the disciples alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the whole world would believe that you sent me. I am in them and you are in me, so that they might be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. A healthy church makes beautiful music by being one with one another, and the world gets to hear it. This is a healthy church. This is the sign of a beautiful church. Surrendering and mutual submission for the sake of unity is when you have multiple ethnic groups, when you have multiple economic groups, you have different nationalities, you have different political backgrounds, different political leanings, you have different ages. You have all this, nothing in common except one thing in common. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our King. And that brings a real unity, not a superficial, mushy, vague, ambiguous unity, one that's rock solid, one that is supernatural, because we focus on Jesus the King and the teachings, the unequivocal teachings of the Bible. A healthy church cares less about more and more about less. A healthy church, the one that makes beautiful music, cares less about more things, more topics, and cares a lot more about a very few topics. If I think back about 2020, and I try not to, but I would say the people involved in leadership, the men and women that had to sit down with people, they came up, in summary, it was two questions that were at issue. And it sounded like this. One, why do you care so much about this little thing? And I'll bet somewhere in there the answer was because I'm angry or because I'm afraid. And the second question that desperately needed to be answered was, why don't you care more about one of these little, about a big issue, but it's little things, you care more about less things, and why don't you care about your brother or sister in Christ? Why don't you care about the unity of the church? Why do you care more about your thing than the unity of the church? And sometimes it's because the people are just selfish or proud. Conform to this world. And what's interesting in Romans, when Paul talks about all these differences in chapters 13 through 15, they were having a lot of disagreements, and some of them had to do with what day of the week is, you know, the Sabbath, what day, or what kind of meals should we have, the diet. And I know many of you are thinking, oh my goodness, care less about more. But if they were writing us, they'd say, now, in 2020, you were caring about what? Why did you care so much? But the point of this is that Paul doesn't say, okay, work out all these differences and come to a unified conclusion and be all alike. He does not say that. He says this. He says, look, just you care too much about too much. Go to the Bible, find out what the principles are, apply it to the particular issue, and then talk to each other, and the words are, with family affection and mutual submission. He says, walk in love. He says, play nice. Play nice, same team. Unity and humility, that's how you live. He's saying, enjoy all the differences. The fundamental convictions, you must agree on those. Some of these beliefs, you're arguing over that. You're causing division. You're causing destruction to one of the sacred things of God. Ooh. You're conformed to this world. So, we treat one another with honor and respect. We listen to other people's points of views, not to argue the point, but to maybe learn from them. We're brothers and we're sisters in Christ. We're family. We're on the same team. That's how we make music. So let's ask the question, are you conformed to this world? Do you bring division and destruction into the sacred things? Satan loves noise. Have you heard it? He loves noise and he hates music. So buckle up. In the next 12 months, the puppets, obeying the puppet master, will invent, allow, or even cause whatever is necessary to cause a viral spread of fear or worry or anger and rage. And that won't be the end. The end will be so that the things that are sacred before God, like government and family and churches, are torn apart and destroyed and are loud with noise. Loud with noise. There's the summary of the first two points. This is conformed to this world. When division through the addiction, the addictive nature of the emotions hate and fear to divide and destroy government, family, and church. It takes 50 years to build a church like ours. It'll take one afternoon to tear it apart. Do not be conformed to this world. So, third point, how do we get out of this world? Yeah, how do we not do that? Well, the rest of the verse helps us a lot. Look at verse 2 again, Romans chapter 12, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You want to know the will of God on a particular issue? Don't be conformed to this world and transform your mind. First thing you have to do is you have to study your Bible. You have to think right. And just let me emphasize, you have to study your Bible and have the thoughts of God more than a news feed. More time with your Bible than with the drama out there. Let me say it a different way. More time studying the Bible than even your devotions. Doesn't matter what Tozer said, it matters what God said. Study your Bible to find the mind and the emotions and the will of God. Be transformed by renewing your mind. The second thing we need to do for unity and humility, besides thinking right, we have to do right. We have to do right. We have to be committed to one another for the sake of unity and mutual humility back and forth. Listen to, I mean, I could turn to any epistle in the Bible and just boom, it's going to jump off the page. Once you see it, just like what the evil is up to. Once you see what God is up to, the exact opposite. Watch how many times in six short sentences Paul's going to be emphasizing unity, humility, all, just the idea of everything working together purposefully. Music. Listen to how we are to work with one another in Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, I love this part, as a prisoner of the Lord. Literally, he's in prison. And he's hearing about churches having disagreements over petty stuff. Are you kidding? I'm doing time for Jesus and you're fighting over what? So that's when he says prisoner of the Lord. He's just kind of inserting that right now. I'm a little busy. Could you all get along? Look what he says. I urge you, I'm begging you, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you've been called. With all humility, all gentleness, all, it's how it's written in Greek, all patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here's this big theological treatise. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to you, to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In the next 12 months, let's all be eager. Let's all bend over backwards to help one another become unified in this one faith. This one hope. What's the hope? Jesus. I mean, if James would interject here on not just thinking right, but doing right, he'd say, watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. It is atomic in its power. Atomic in it. It can fuel a city, and it can destroy a city. He'll say things like, the tongue is like a little bit, like this big, and you can put it in a Clydesdale's mouth, and you, a little bitty man, can steer that Clydesdale to anywhere he or she wants it to go. The tongue is like a rudder. Proportionally, it's so small compared to the entire ship that's being kicked around by heavy winds. But that ship will go wherever the rudder points. That's the tongue. Power. So he warns us. He says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. His next sentence is, it's like a spark, a single spark that can burn down a forest that's taken 200 years to grow. Pump the brakes. You don't have to say everything. Think right. Do right. The last way to get out of this world is take responsibility. James is writing us again, like he wrote it last week. My brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to post, slow to watch other silly videos, and slow to become angry or afraid. Slow to become angry or afraid, because anger and fear does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Anger and fear, those are the demonic face cards. Those don't bring you the righteousness of God, but peace and hope, those things do. Have you heard this? Satan loves noise, and he hates music. Will you say that with me? Satan loves noise, and he hates music. And it's because God takes noise and turns it into music. God, in his humility, the Father, the Son submitting to the Father, and the Spirit submitting to the Son, and the Father submitting to the Spirit, like in humility, they work together to cause beautiful things to take place. Here's what we'll say in 2024. Here's what we do at our house sometimes. When Melinda and I are going back and forth, having an argument, and quite often, by the way, confusion and chaos is taking place, and then until she like figures out that she's wrong, we're going back. I need a place to stay. Anyone? Took two cars. Here's what we'll say sometimes. going back, and honestly, because we realize we're not, it's not a battle of flesh and blood. Once we realize it's not a battle of flesh and blood, it's a spiritual war, and confusion and chaos and division and destruction is the goal for this little interchange that we're having in the kitchen, this far away, how do you get that confused? Someone will say, same team. Same team. And when that phrase is used, the argument dies immediately because we look at each other and we say, you are my very best friend. And I love you. And this is trivia. Whatever it is, it's trivia compared to you and me being us. Same team. We got to care less about a lot more things, and we need to care more about just a few things. Hey, Grace, same team. Same team. Here's kind of the logo for our little mini series here. If you take a look, look at what it says. Citizens in heaven. Look at that. Hey, Grace, look at your passport. Check it out. We're citizens in heaven. This is not our home. I feel like such an alien. Good. I feel like an outsider. Supposed to. What am I supposed to do? Be an ambassador. You don't belong to this world. You belong to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And you are to be like, you are to be holy like He is holy. And we don't have to be involved in all of this other. This is the lighthouse of evangelism for 2024. How are you so peaceful in all of the chaos? How are you and your friends who have seemed like nothing in common getting along so well? Because we're not conformed to this world. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We know what the good and the perfect will is because we surrender to Him. It's because we're on the same team. We're going to vote for somebody for a short period of time, but we have a king, and we'll spend eternity with him because he made it possible. And that is one of the very few things that we care almost everything about. Less about more and more about less. Come back next week. We'll talk about what to do with these infectious emotions of anger and fear. How God answers that. Until then, let's pray. I found some verses that I thought we could pray together. First Peter says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, of all hypocrisy, of all envy, slander of every kind. That belongs to this world. Lord, we pray that. We pray that we would have, like newborn babies, this craving for pure spiritual milk, the milk of our salvation that tastes in the goodness of the Lord, that we care a lot about that. And we care about other things in a very little way. And I've therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, Paul says, I urge Grace to walk in a manner that's worthy of her calling, that she's been called to, with all humility and in all gentleness and all patience, that we would bear with one another this love, that we would be eager to maintain the unity, the harmony, the music that's in the spirit of peace. Because there's just one body. Lord, we understand there's just this one spirit. We only have one hope. It's in you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. Father, you are over all and you are in all. And that is what we share. Everything else, what difference does any of that make? I'd ask that we would be a church like that on this hill, be a shining beacon when the chaos breaks, that we would show the way by our love for one another, just as you prayed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.